Bible, turn to Job 34. Job 34. Okay, that is cracked open. Praise the Lord. We're going to read Job 34, verses 1 through 4. We'll read these verses responsively, then we're going to read just another passage, just a page or so over. Job 34, verses 1 through 4. Let's read these verses responsively. If you haven't found it by now, just look at the page you're looking at and look intelligently. Nobody else will know. Job 34, verses 1 through 4. Furthermore, Elihu answered and said, "Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge, for the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. Let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good." And look at chapter 36. Chapter 36. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. I'll tell you what, I'll read verses 1 and 2 and you join me on verse 3. How's that sound? Job 36, verses 1 through 3. I'll read the first two verses, you join me on verse 3. Elihu also proceeded and said, "Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker." And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Lord, I love you. I sure wish that our people would be closer to you today. I wish our people would listen to the truth. We'd allow things to peel off of our lives and to put on that would draw us closer to you. May we put our pet feelings aside and our petty feelings aside. May we just do that which is best for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Most of us know much of the story of Job. I'm not going to rehearse all of it. Let me just quickly run through. Job was one of the most wealthy men in the earth. Job was a Christian businessman. He was a good man. He had several different businesses. He had camels, he had donkeys, he had cattle, he had camels, he had sheep. He had farms for each of them, and he had 10 children. One day, Satan goes after Job directly. God allowed Satan to try Job, and he lost every one of his businesses. He lost every one of his employees, and all 10 of his children were in a house eating dinner, and the wind came and blew the house down and killed all 10 of his children. All happened in one day. They got through that, and a little while later, Satan came after Job again and took Job's health, gave him boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and he lost the loyalty of his wife. She said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And there he sits in the ash heap of the city dump, taking a broken piece of pottery, scraping the boils to get the pus out of him, sitting in the heat to try to get some comfort. And here comes three of his friends. They came to comfort him. Well, they sat there for 7 days and didn't say a word. They just looked at him. Then, you find out when they did start speaking, they started criticizing him. "Job, what'd you do that was so wrong? God must be punishing you. Job, what sin do you have in your life? Job, God's after you. You're hiding something. We know you are." That's how his friends began to speak to him. I love the verse in the book of Job where it says, "Miserable comforters are ye all." He said, "You came to comfort. You're not doing a real good job." Finally, they begin to speak. They blame Job for the calamities. They say, "Job, it's all your fault." They proceed to tell Job that God's judging him. Isn't it amazing when bad things happen, we think God's judging somebody? They tell Job, you must have hidden sins that need to be out in the open. You let us know and we'll tell everybody. I'm sure they would have. They took it upon themselves to act as God, and they took authority that was not theirs to take. And honestly, in doing all this, they thought they were spiritual. They sincerely thought they were spiritual. In chapter 34, chapter 35, and chapter 36, one of Job's friends, his name is Elihu. What a dumb name. He is speaking here, so to speak, and God is penning down Elihu's words. Elihu says something very important. Elihu says something that reveals what I would like to preach today. He says in chapter 34, those of you that are wise, those of you that are smart like me, he said, listen to what I have to say. He said, let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. Then in chapter 36, verse number 2, he says, I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. Did you catch what he said? He said, hey, those of you that are wise, those of you that are smart, you listen to me, that we'll choose what judgment should be done and what good is. Then he later says, I am going to tell you what I think, because then I'm going to go to God, because he's going to have me speak on his behalf. Sounds like a bunch of preachers I know. I'm sure Elihu must have been a sincere man. But may I say this? He was sincerely wrong. Sincerity doesn't make you right. Having a good motive does not make you right. Everybody understand that? Just because you... Well, I sincerely think that if I'm good, my good will outweigh the bad. Well, you're sincerely going to die and go to hell. In the book of Acts, the Bible talks about Agrippa, when Peter was talking to Agrippa, or Paul, and he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Well, guess what? He was that close to it and died and went to hell. He was sincere, but he died and went to hell sincerely. God did not send the tragedy to Job. God did not send the wind to blow down the house that killed Job's children. Satan did. Why is it that when something bad happens, well, God's judging them? There is nowhere in Scripture where it says that God caused all that. Everybody doing okay? God didn't send the sickness and disease on Job. The devil did. God didn't send the enemy in to burn the fields and to kill all of Job's employees and to steal and to loot and to rob and to tear down and to burn down. Satan did. It wasn't God that caused the calamity. It was the devil. By the way, the Bible says that there is a God of this world. I hate to disappoint you. Everybody look at me for just a second. When the hurricanes hit and the tornadoes hit and the floods hit, that's not God, that's the devil. The devil can control nature. God didn't create that. God created nature to take care of itself the right way. The calamity comes when the devil does things. And guess who gets the blame for it? There are people in flooded places all over Texas right now, still all over Louisiana and South Alabama, recovering from hurricanes and in Florida. Do you know what the insurance company will call it? An act of God. No, it's an act of Satan. They want to blame God for it. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Elihu makes some statements that I feel we as Christians can get involved in making ourselves. I am not judging Elihu's motive as to why he said it. But what he said was wrong. I do not judge someone as to why they say things, but I can judge it based on the word of God, whether it's right or wrong. If someone gets up and says, well, you have to turn from all of your sins to get saved, that's works, that's wrong, it's not biblical. Did you know you can't turn from all your sins? You were born a sinner. You can turn from trusting your own works to get you to heaven to trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. But you can't turn from all your sins. You can't turn inside out. That's works. If somebody gets up and says that you can get sprinkled and get baptized and you'll go to heaven, guess what? They're wrong. That's not in the Bible. I have the right to say that's wrong. I know a lot of preachers that are sincere today that'll get up and preach the wrong gospel. They'll preach a wrong message. Yes, sir. They're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. They say, I'm the fanatic. Oh, you need an easier Bible. All those these and thous and ye's and... okay. But they're the ones that call me dumb. They have to have an easier Bible. I don't get it. Now, let me give you just a few statements and let me help you today. Number one, it was not Elihu's place to judge Job. Elihu had no business judging Job. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Do you know that's part of the Sermon on the Mount? Those are the words of Jesus Christ himself. By the way, all the Bible is the words of Jesus. According to Luke chapter 6, verse 37, it says we are not to judge one another. Malachi, I have no right to judge you. None whatsoever. Shane, I've got no right to judge you. None whatsoever. Harry, you got no right to judge your... I have no right to judge you as another human being. Do you know I can't see your spirit? I can't see your spirit. I can't see yours. And if you start seeing spirits, you need help. Ooh, all right. We can't see spirits. There are people that think arrogantly that they can judge your spirituality. No, you can't. Only God can. And you have no right judging somebody else's spirituality, especially if it's based on your spirituality. Well, that person must not be real spiritual. They're not here today. Well, you just proved how unspiritual you are by judging them. Well, they said they were going to... Doesn't matter what they said. Have you ever had anything come up? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. And I haven't even started. We as sinners have no right to place judgment on another sinner. That's like two pigs in the mud complaining that the other one's dirty. Well, you're dirtier than I am. Either way, you're still a pig in the mud. Yeah, we have no right to say what God is doing to someone. Did you ever think it could be the devil doing it? Who are you to even know? Everybody look at me for just a second. Everybody in here's got enough on their plate to worry about. You don't need to worry about somebody else's plate. If you have time to think about somebody else's plate, Your plate's piling up and you just don't want to look at it. We too often look at negative as God judging or punishing. Can I tell you something? That's not yours to decide. Because if you went back to Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, Satan goes to God and says, I want to find somebody and prove to you that they won't follow you. He said, hast thou not considered my servant Job? There's not a more just man upon the earth. God looked at Job and said, this is a reward. This is an honor for you to go through it. He was not judging Job. He said, Job's strong enough to take it. Job can take it and not turn his back on me. If you want it, go after him. God was not judging him. God was honoring him. I heard a preacher one time say, if you're going through the fire to be refined, at least he thinks you're worth the refining process. It might burn you, it might melt you, but may I say something, it'll purify you and make you more valuable. Elihu wanted to sound spiritual by placing judgment. In the process, he became satanic. When you start judging someone else, you become satanic because that's what the devil wants. I say this about once every 5 or 6 weeks, just for good measure. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before one of our young people or somebody in our church messes up, and we make them stand up here in church and tell everybody what wrong they did. That's wicked as the devil. That's wicked as the devil. Well, the Bible never said anything about that kind of trash. Anybody understand? By the way, who are you? Show me what sins they're supposed to do that about. Do you want to get up here and tell everything you did wrong this week? I know pastors who have said, well, there are certain sins that a Christian has to get up and confess before the church. Oh, now who's playing God? There are certain sins. I don't find them anywhere listed in the Bible, do you? By the way, did you know those sins aren't any worse than any other sin? Not a one of them. Did you know you can die and go to hell for one little white lie? As much as you could if you murdered somebody. So why does it matter what kind of sin it is? Everybody doing okay? I'm about to have a little bit of fun here. This is why we shouldn't judge somebody else's sin, including our own families, including your own children. Who are you to judge your grown children? They answer to God, not to you. I thank God for my three children. But may I say this, they'll answer to God for their life. I don't answer to God for it. My part's done. For all intents and purposes, I'm there. I'm still their dad, but they don't have to obey me. You do while you're at home this summer. Dangerous with her sitting there, you know it. Now, wait a minute. But even she doesn't have to, she's chosen to. I thank God early this morning for my kids that wished me a happy Father's Day. Last night, my daughter wished me a happy Father's Day early. And my Father's Day present was, number one, my wife and I singing that song today. Number two, my daughter and I are going on a daddy-daughter date tomorrow, on Tuesday. And I texted the toe-headed idiot and said, I have a date with my daughter on Tuesday. Nah, 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 nah. He said, I'm jealous. I said, that's your fault, not mine. I'm here, you're not. So you didn't do that. I can show you the text. I did. Now, wait a minute. I thank God for that, but guess what? They don't have to obey me. See, this is why we shouldn't judge somebody else's sins. Did you know I don't care if they have the same last name as you or not? Everybody, listen to this statement. I'm going to read it. You are not God. You cannot choose your own judgment. Elihu said, let us choose our own judgment. Look at Job 34, verse 4. Let us choose to us judgment. Let us choose to us judgment. We'll decide that this is judgment and what judgment it is. Who made Elihu God? You are not God. You can't know what to judge in another sinner's life because you got sin in your own eyes. Number two, I got to hurry. Number two, let us know among ourselves what is good. Let us know among ourselves what is good. I wrote this statement down. You'll like it. This is a redneck term. You don't have the corner market on good. Did you know you're not the authority of what good is? Everybody doing all right? Okay, everybody smile.
About to get rough.
Did you know if you decide what's good and what's not good, you're as guilty as the devil in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 5, when he tempted Eve and said, you can choose good and evil. You deciding good and evil is you becoming satanic. How about we let God decide what's good? When only we decide what is good for others, we become God. And when you become God, you have a problem. Did you know that God's goodness is as individualized as humanity? You know, there are things that I think are good that you don't think are good. And there are things you think that are good that I don't think that are good. Yes. Brother Barnes likes snow. I think it's from the devil. I hate it. I hate every flake of it. Now, I accept it because there ain't nothing you can do about it but shovel it, amen? But I hate every flake of it. Oh, wait a minute. I like chicken hearts and chicken livers. Okay? Now you can keep the stupid gizzards. That's just not right. Okay? But you heard all the uhs. My wife and daughter and I had chicken this week. I ate the livers and the hearts. They ate the chicken. Didn't bother me a bit. My daughter's over there. I said, here, try one. She's, she's blah. They don't even like smelling them. Doesn't bother me a bit. I love them. I'd rather eat that than the chicken. Parts is parts, amen? Doesn't matter. Now, wait a minute. I like good things, but what I say is good may not be what you think is good. There are people in here that like squash and pumpkin and... yeah, all that kind of stuff. You know, if it looks like it came out of a baby diaper, don't put it in the hatch. It just, something just ain't right with that, amen? Now, there are people here, you love it. I'm happy for you. I just don't. Say, well, there's something wrong with you. No, there's not. Goodness is as individual as humanity is. And God knows how to specialize in that goodness with each of us. He knows our tastes. He knows our likes. He knows our dislikes. But wait a minute, there is a line of right and wrong. God's goodness stops at the line of right and wrong. Did you know it's not wrong to eat hearts and livers? But God's goodness changes when it comes into drinking alcohol. That's wrong. Wine is a mockery, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God says don't look upon it, don't drink it, don't have anything to do with it. Now,
It may be
good to some people to taste. I don't understand how that could be good to taste. Anything that's rotten shouldn't go in your mouth. Amen. Whew. I've smelled enough of that stuff through the years on people's breath to think there ain't no way that could be good. Now, wait a minute. Some people may think it's good. It crossed the line of good and evil, right and wrong. Therefore, it's not good. That's where the lines are drawn for God. Everybody doing okay? God made us all different. He didn't make us the same. And he didn't make us with the same tastes. Did you know you try to play God when you expect everybody to like everything you like? There are things I like my wife does not like. She has no desire to go out and gut a deer and drag it, shoot it. I enjoy it. But I have no desire to do some of the things she does either. Say, what is that? That's none of your business because I got to go home and eat today. Now, wait a minute. Just because she doesn't necessarily like everything I like doesn't mean I'm going to hate her and that she hates me. It's not a sin to like something other than what I like. And I'm not going to get impatient with her because she doesn't like it. I'm not going to drag her out there to go out dragging deer. Except one time when somebody gave me 5 deer. And it was 100 degrees outside. And I had to gut them that night. I had them all stuffed in the back of my car. I had a Ford Taurus with seats down, had plastic down, had 5 does stuffed in this thing, fully loaded. They didn't even field dress them. I had to get them home by midnight, dress them puppies out, packed them in ice, had a preacher friend come up from a different part of the state, and we butchered 5 deer. The flies were so thick it was unbearable. It was exciting. We butchered for about 24 hours straight. And she had had a migraine that night. This is not a good thing. Since then, I've not done 5 deer in one day again. 3, but not 5. It just, you say, why? You learn what's not good. Now, wait a minute. She doesn't enjoy that, but she does enjoy eating the meat. So she puts up with some of it. I hunt it. I skin and quarter it. I butcher it. She wraps it and freezes it and cooks it. That's our deal. No problem. And she'll only wrap it and freeze it if she's got a fork or tongs to use because she ain't touching it. Not me. I can be shoulder deep in it. It doesn't matter. Now, wait a minute. When we expect others to see or value good as we do, and only as we do, we're full of pride. And we set ourselves up to be hurt or disappointed or upset. Can I help you in your homes? Quit making everybody enjoy everything you enjoy. Parents have a way of forcing their children to enjoy things that they enjoyed as kids or that they enjoy and get upset when the kids don't enjoy everything you enjoy. My dad can fix anything. He's mechanical brained. I have 10 thumbs and no brain for mechanics. Literally. Now, I understand in theory what those things are and what they do and stuff, but I can't put it to practice. But my dad and I get along. We had a mechanical project this week. He didn't yell at me one time. It was great. I didn't yell at him one time. Now, we were both about ready to curse the engineer. But I didn't get upset. And I told him, I said, your lead. This is your baby, not mine. I said, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, but... And a little while later, hey, did you get that done yet? No, I'm still working on it. Slow down. Well, it's not that hard for you. Not for me. But I got there. Now, wait a minute. If you only expect people to like good as you view good, guess what? You're going to be very upset. Well, I just don't understand why my wife doesn't do it. You don't have to understand it. She's your wife. She's not you.
I heard a great preacher one day say this. Fellas, if you want your wife to think like a man, you have sodomite thinking. Quit trying to make your wife a man. You're leaning towards the sodomite crowd. You expect her to think and act like a man.
Ladies, don't expect him to think like a woman. He can't. Thank God. I mean, he doesn't think like a woman thinks. It doesn't mean they're wrong. We just all have different processing. The Bible gives us a guide on what is good. And good as God views it. That's the only guide that matters. Your likes will differ from everybody else. What you like is different than what I like. And what I like is different than what she likes.
But guess what? Just because I like it and I think it's good doesn't mean everybody in the world has to think it's good.
Do you ever notice that's why when you go to the restaurant, there's more than one type of food there? Because not everybody likes one thing. Not everyone views what you like the way you view it. Some of you think that piece of trash is the greatest thing in all the world. And to others, it's a piece of trash. What you throw out, somebody else says, Shazam, look at that. By the way, don't judge someone if they don't share your preferences or they don't share your view. Quit judging everybody based on the fact that you don't see it the way they see it. Everybody doing all right? Learn that good is often personal preference. God's goodness doesn't change, though. God's goodness doesn't change. Number three, and I got to hurry. This is my favorite part. Job 36, verse number 2. The Bible says, suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. We are not God's authority, and we don't speak on God's behalf.
I have written in my study Bible these words, Eli the Pope. Elihu the Pope. This is a Pope mentality. I will speak ex cathedra in the place of God. Can I tell you something? The only time I can speak on God's behalf is when I'm speaking God's words, not my opinion. Because then it's not my words, it's His words. I represent Him, but I don't speak on His behalf. The only time I can say that is, well, God says right here, thou shalt not.
Then I'm just repeating what God has said. Elihu had the Pope mentality. Well, I will speak for God.
Everybody look at me for a second. Did you know you're not God to anybody? Did you know I am not God to anybody? And you ought to be very glad.
I am not God to my wife. I am not God to my children. I am not God to my friends. I am not God to my church. Everybody doing okay? The only way I speak on God's behalf is if I speak His words, not my opinion about His words.
I'm very careful making preachers do what I want. But when preachers cross a line of right and wrong, I just stay in place and keep doing my thing. I let them alone. It's not always easy because some of them I've known for decades. They're my personal friends. But if they change, they change. I'll still be a friend to them, but it doesn't mean I call them every week. Doesn't mean I'm going to go preach for them. Doesn't mean I'm going to have them come preach for me. It means if they need something as a friend, I'll be there to help them behind the scenes, but I don't Facebook with them. I don't Facebook anybody. I don't Twitter or what's the other thing? Insta Coffee or Instagram, that's it. I don't do any of that stuff. You say, why? I'm so busy, I don't have time for that trash.
You see, too many preachers decide, well, that's my friend. They're going this way, so I better go with them. What happened to, he's my friend, I better go with him? I'd rather follow that than my friend anywhere. Everybody doing okay? And I'm watching men change. I'm watching men that I've known for 20 and 30 and 35 years change. They want to tell you that they're not, but I know better. I had a conversation a year ago with a preacher friend of mine. A year ago. And I said, I am worried about this and this.
He chewed me up for over almost 10 minutes. I've known you this long. I mean, he tore into me, Brother Larry. Well, he's taken another step in that direction. I'm about to step back. I've been patient. I've been watching for years. And it's getting worse, not better. Now, I might be the first to take a step back, and I may even be criticized for it. I don't plan on anybody knowing who it is. I'm just going to take a step back, let it alone. And I hate to tell you something, but I'm going to watch it change. Now, I hope to God it doesn't. I don't think he personally will, but that which is around him will. You don't play with the skunks and come away smelling good. You don't play with pigs and come home squeaky clean. You play with the pigs, you're going to come home smelling like a pig. The only way to speak on God's behalf are to use his words. When you think you're God, as I said in Sunday school this morning, you have Isaiah 14 mentality, which is satanic. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. Hello. That's what Lucifer said when he got kicked out of heaven. When you try to be God of somebody, can I tell you something? Malachi, you're a young man. I can't choose God's will for your life. I can guide you with the Bible and say, that's not real good. Are you sure that lines up with what the Bible says? I can't be God in your life. I can't tell my daughter what's God's will for her life. She answers to God for God's will for her life. Everybody doing all right? You say, is the toe-headed idiot God's will for her life? She believes it is, and I'll back her. By the way, personally, I think it is. You say, is that hard for you to say? No, not for me. You're going to lose your daughter. How am I going to lose her? I'm picking up a toe-headed idiot. I'm not losing her. I didn't lose my son when he got married to Ruth Ann. I gained a daughter.
We went from 3 to 4 kids. Doesn't bother me. I didn't lose anything. I'm gaining. You see, if we don't have the right to be in God's place or authority, we have no right to judge another human being spiritually. None. Well, I don't think that person ought to work. I miss church. I think you ought to be in church every chance you get. But my Bible says that if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. I went to Bible college for 4 years.
I could count on that hand the times I made it to Wednesday night church in 4 years of Bible college.
Everybody doing okay? I didn't like missing Wednesday night church, but I liked paying my bills. I liked staying in college. And my pastor got up and said, "You preacher boys, you're going to have to work to pay your bills. And if you don't pay your bills, you're going to get kicked out of college and you'll never make it in the ministry. You're better off. You're getting preaching during chapel 5 days a week. You got preaching on the weekends. And you just stay in church. Now, don't volunteer to work Wednesday nights if you don't have to. And if you can get out of it, get out of it. But if not, you work Wednesday night." Thank God for a preacher like that. I think that you ought to be in church every chance you get. I don't think you ought to schedule yourself to work in church services. But I think there are times you can't get out of it. I get that. You'll never hear this preacher criticize you for that. And you're not going to hear me criticize anybody else. Do I wish they could get their schedule changed? Yes. But I worked on Wednesday nights for an awful long time. Everybody doing all right? By the way, you have no right to judge somebody spiritually for that. They may be working, but let me ask you a question. How far in debt are you? Bless you. Some of you would rather go farther and farther in debt and be dishonest financially and then criticize somebody who's trying to be honest financially. Quit playing God. I gotta quit. When things go wrong, it's not usually God punishing for sin. Can I tell you something? If you're saved, God won't punish your sin. You'll face the consequences of it, but God's not punishing you for it. Because in God's mind, he didn't see it because your sin are on the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a God of this world who can control tragedies. We're all sinners and can face consequences for our sins, but that is not God judging you for your sin. Some of the problems we get ourselves into is due to our bad planning and our misfortune.
Well, I got a nail in my tire. God must be judging me. No, you ran over. Did you know somebody that's lost got a nail in their tire this week too? Why is it God judging you? Oh, it must be the devil. The devil really hates me. I don't think the devil threw a nail out there.
Some of the problems we get ourselves into is due to bad planning. Why does it matter so much where the negative comes from? How about we learn from it and not try to repeat it? How about we get closer to God because of it? Not pull away from him.
Let's quit playing God. Let's quit judging. Let's quit playing Elihu. Well, those of you that are smart will listen to me and we'll judge amongst ourselves. We'll choose what is good and I'll speak on God's behalf. I read the last chapter of the book of Job. You go to Job chapter 42, guess what? God gave Job back twice as many sheep, twice as many cattle, twice as many camels, twice as many donkeys, and gave him 10 more kids. That was God's punishment on Job's wife. Not only did he give him 10 more kids, but all of his kids were grown the first time. They had to start from nothing, man. We ain't starting over again. Mm-mm.
Ain't no more puppies coming home unless they're grandpuppies, amen? Now, wait a minute. God gave back to Job twice as much that was taken away by the devil. That's a pretty good deal. God rewarded Job for his faithfulness. I find nowhere in Scripture where God ever rewarded Elihu or Bildad or Eliphaz. His other two friends. What names? Can I tell you something? Let's quit trying to judge everybody. Let's quit deciding what's good and not good for everybody. Let's quit speaking for God because you're just so spiritual. You're not as spiritual as you think you are. Because if you were spiritual, you wouldn't be speaking that way. Let's just be good, obedient Christians. If you've never been saved, today you can be saved. If you've been saved and never baptized, we'll take care of it. If you want to join the church, you can take care of it. Can I tell you something? Let's just all decide we're going to obey God. We're just going to be obedient Christians. One statement and I'm done. Quit competing to be the best Christian. We're not in a competition with each other. I told someone this morning, they said, oh, I have such a long way to go. I said, yeah, I've just been on the road a lot longer than most. I started on the road early in life. Everybody's got to start, though. How about you go back to where you were when you were where they are spiritually? Huh. You want to look at it through yourself right now. That's what disqualifies you to be godly enough to judge them. Let's quit judging. Let's quit trying to play God. And let's just be obedient Christians. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Could say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon is something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Oh, my soul. Hands everywhere. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. If you need to make a decision today, you can do so. If you need to just come and pray, you do so. If you've been saved and not baptized, we can care for it today. Whatever the need,